The View from Planet Nancy.
Hello, I'm Nancy Casey. I've been reading A Chorus of Stones, The Private Life of War by Susan Griffin. In Chapter 2, Denial, she writes, "How many small decisions accumulate to form a habit? What a multitude of decisions made by others in other times must shape our lives now. A grandmother's name is erased. A mother decides to pretend that her child does not drink too much. A nation refuses to permit immigrants to pass its borders, knowing and yet pretending not to know that this will mean certain death. The decision is made to bomb a civilian population." Once, in the aftermath of a wedding, I was staying over at the home of one of the young bridesmaids who'd gone off to a party once her 2-year-old had gone to sleep. I'm at one end of the kitchen hubbub, wrapping up leftovers, when a thin wail coils into the room like smoke. Grandma attends, returns with the clinging girl child, settles with her into a kitchen chair, repeating in a tone that conjures clowns and lollipops, "Mommy's at the store." Behind those scared koala eyes, the little one is brave, looking from the safety of Grandma's lap at the black window panes and the kitchen table. Drunken uncles slapping down cards, 16-2 and a pair is 4. A cigarette stubbed into a plate. An unfinished sandwich. Torn open bags of broken chips. And Grandma's relentless sing-song, "Mommy's at the store." The child is silent when she is relinquished to the high chair. The cribbage goes on. Soon there's juice, peanut butter and crackers. "Mommy's at the store." No matter how many times I visit Haiti, no matter what I say when I'm there or when I get home, no matter how many new ways I have been stunned because my exposure to such people and such a place has moved me, in the farewell moments, with the many embraces, I don't say, "Gotta go, gotta get back on my own side of history." Recently, I downloaded a program from TUC Radio and listened to a scholar named Ian Bowle describe the Industrial Revolution in England through the lens of an idea he calls enclosure. Developments in property law at that time were bringing land that up until then was used in common by the rural peasantry into private ownership. The land was enclosed, and the people who depended on it for their livelihoods were shut out. Meanwhile, the growing cities offered a different kind of livelihood in factories, especially textile mills. Along with it, says Bowle, came a different type of enclosure. He calls it the incarceration of production. To gain access to the livelihood enclosed in the factory, one must consent to the abuses that take place inside: child labor, maiming, early death. Bowle challenges people to ask how and where the labor that supports their lives is enclosed, and to what degree is this labor incarcerated. He says a person can't be proud or relieved to live in a nation that has abolished slavery, when in actuality, the abolishing is merely a restructuring of production that displaces the slavery to a location that hasn't abolished it. Here's one more sentence from Susan Griffin in A Chorus of Stones, The Private Life of War, from the chapter called Denial. "Deep in the mind," she writes, "we know everything and wish to have everything told, to have our images and our words reflect the truth." That's The View from Planet Nancy. Thank you for listening. I'll see you in orbit.
Transcripts of this and other editions of The View from Planet Nancy are available at authornancycasey.com, where you can also sign up for a podcast and leave your comments. The View from Planet Nancy is produced with help from Radio Free Moscow in Moscow, Idaho, and at krfp.org. Music by Kevin MacLeod.